You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Chat. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. You're fucked, mate. We're nice now.
Okay, we're recording.
Nice.
How are you feeling?
Terrible. How are you doing?
Have you had time to reflect?
Yeah, I thought I'd wake up and feel happier.
Did you?
Feel like pure shit.
Still?
No. Yeah, feel sad.
Oh, I thought you'd be able to...
like process it?
Yeah, do some meditating last night and...
No, had a bottle of wine.
Hello, friends. You're listening to the Friends of Rugby.
It made me see. It's like you're just like, oh, this guy's a depressed mess. Let's move on.
This is also going to be a therapy session for a Welsh fan.
Yeah. I think I need to be with my people, but I can't be with my people.
You have to go home.
Because I live in this fucking country. Canada, not Wales, which I like. I like Canada.
What would you do if you're back home?
I'd just be around other like-minded miserable people.
Do you think there's like a candle vigil? Like, is that vigil? Like,
yeah.
Like in the town square in front of
fucking...
Yeah, there's
like framed pictures of Alan Wynne-Jones and Dag Bigger. Like,
in front of the Millennium? Like,
yeah. Yeah, we're done. It's over. The dream is dead.
Everyone's like singing Elton John. Candle in the wind.
We've officially rejoined England as a country. Wales is no more.
Because you were sad yesterday.
I was sad, wasn't I? Like, not in a kind of dramatic way either. Like, I'm just deflated,
like,
sad.
Like, you were just done with rugby.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I lost a few percentage of enjoying rugby yesterday permanently. It
chipped
away.
Which is weird because I'm just like, I feel alive when it comes to rugby.
Yeah, because it's not like, it's not your national identity at stake, is it?
I don't have that.
It's imagine if Canada were not only bad at hockey, but you thought they're never going to be good again.
That would be scary.
Yeah.
That would make me cry a little bit.
That's how I feel.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, I'm being dramatic. There's some good things to talk about, but it's pretty dire.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about first?
I want to talk about the date and then finish podcasting, if you don't mind. So I'm going to tell you that it's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to anyone who's Irish.
Oh, yeah.
March 17.
Is it St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. He was Welsh, you know, St. Patrick.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
That's such a fucking conspiracy.
Google it.
No, I'm not going to Google it. I already know.
Okay.
Isn't he the guy with the snakes?
Drove the snakes out of Ireland, yeah.
Is that the story?
That's the story.
Or did he just combine two stories?
No, that's what he did.
That sounds like a Simpsons episode.
I mean, it was also a Simpsons episode.
Was it? Because it sounds like a Simpsons episode.
Separately, one of the Simpsons plot was they drove the snakes out of Springfield, yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's
yeah. But, which they stole from St. Patrick, I guess, yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
We should.
But no, wait, it was, they didn't, they beat the snakes with sticks in Springfield, and then Barry White saved the snakes.
Oh, yeah, because she drops the speaker on
the, and it, the vibrations attract the snakes, and they protect the snakes. So it's actually different.
That's an old
they
episode.
They kept the snakes in Springfield.
My darling, kicking up your little baby.
Yeah, I want to slither towards Barry White now.
We should try to get him on the... Is he dead?
I think he's dead, mate, yeah.
Is Barry White dead?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get him on the podcast, because I'm pretty sure we can get Barry White.
With our budget? Yeah, we can get Barry White.
I think for our first guest, we should have someone completely not related to rugby.
An American soul singer.
Yeah.
Or do you mean like not even sports related?
Not even sports related. No. Something like completely, I don't know.
Just get like someone who works at the deli counter and say,
it'd be like fucking Carrot Top.
What do you know about rugby? Literally nothing.
Let's say nothing. If we go into my tank, my chest of secrets over here, this fucking weird Carrot Top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, rugby stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you doing okay though? It's not all about me. St. Patrick's Day. Fine Irish championship.
I didn't even know that... It was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, and you were in a French jersey yesterday.
Yeah, I was kind of happy about the championship, but it was just wasn't the fairy tale I wanted.
No. No, the shine was taken off it a bit.
It was. It really was. Yeah. Yeah. But we'll get into that.
For sure.
Yeah, but first of all, let's talk about some Super Rugby.
Okay.
Super Rugby. Oh my gosh. So, The fucking Crusaders.
They are on a streak of not winning.
They're collapsing.
Yeah, why are they doing that?
I don't know. I haven't dug into it. I know I asked some friends about it. They still have some players. They have some injuries. They're waiting on some players to come back.
They've lost the greatest coach of all time.
Okay, so this is something that I was thinking about after I saw this loss.
Yeah.
This is terrifying. This is going to be a spooky story right now.
Okay.
If the Razor Boy, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Like, if he is the difference. If he is as good.
Yeah.
Like,
which the evidence is maybe starting to show.
Yeah, like if he was the difference from having this team be the greatest team ever to being now shit.
Yeah.
Like, what is he going to do with the All Blacks? Like, that is the world's...
They're already pretty good.
And he's got the best players in the world at his fingertips.
Yeah.
And if he is the difference in the Crusaders, the whole world's fucked.
And he's not the only important thing in the All Blacks right now. You know,
no.
They've got a hell of a backroom staff.
Yes. So now when I'm thinking about this, it's like, man, if this is the difference. Like, if Razor Ramon here is fucking the difference.
Yeah.
Like, the world rugby, like, everyone's fucked. They'll probably win every single game as long as he's the coach.
Ugh.
Like, if he's that good.
I mean, this is... The annoying thing is that's happened before. New Zealand have been the best thing ever before.
I still think they're the best team in the world.
As an aside, I'm a bit sick of this who's the best team in the world chat.
I think you can say the best team in the world is...
Historically is New Zealand.
Historically.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, like, always currently, the All Blacks. They'll beat anyone on their date, and they'll be always the favorites.
But they haven't done in the last 3 or 4 years. That's happened.
Yeah, but they still have beaten odds.
They're still really good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're not. I'm more saying I don't like this. Who's the best team? It's like,
okay, here's the
doesn't
thing.
Matter.
Here's the thing. This is the thing. This is what makes them the best team in the world.
Yeah,
I'll go on this.
Right.
Okay, to beat Ireland,
yeah,
you don't have to be perfect. To beat the Springboks,
yeah,
you don't have to be perfect.
Right.
To beat the All Blacks, you have to play a perfect game. Every single player has to play 110%. Otherwise, if you give them a fucking millimeter,
they
take
it.
That's what makes them the best team in the world.
Yeah.
They will win. If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Right like that. No other team will do that.
Ooh. Right? Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
That's the difference between them and the rest of the world.
I think Ireland, to be fair, have got to that spot where they are so targeted and good that England have to play the game of the year to beat them.
Yeah, they're getting up there. I'm not saying they're far behind.
And I think similarly, South Africa, like, if your set piece isn't the best it's ever been, you're not going to beat them.
Yes, but I've seen them lose in the last few years to teams that weren't playing perfect games. Ireland beat them the last two times.
They played pretty well, though.
They played good, but not perfect.
Their lineout was dodgy.
Yeah.
I mean...
But when you play the All Blacks, you have to be perfect.
I want to talk about this more. I just haven't thought... You caught me off guard with a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to think
you
about
need to
that
think about
and,
it.
And come back to you on that. But that's a good... I like that, though. I like that as a talking
it's
point.
It's the only team in the world where you have to be perfect to beat them.
Yeah.
And, like, what does that say about that team?
Yeah, I mean, it means that they have been consistently and historically so good that you know you have to, as you said, be as good as you can be. I think what I'm trying to say is the idea that there is a best team in the world is always a stupid idea. Not because it's not true necessarily, but you get so caught up in the talk about it.
That's the best part.
And I like talking about it, but I think the point I'm trying to make is rugby is such a complicated, nuanced sport with so many different facets that you could be really good at the scrum and the line out, and you've got a bad attacking game. And that's what I like about the sport. There's a lot of different things going on in any given team. So to say one team is objectively better than the other is never true.
And if you think it, and also when you look at All Blacks' weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's not their defense.
No.
It's not their attack.
No.
It's not their scrum. It's not their lineout.
No.
It's not their physicality.
I think it is their physicality. I think it is their physicality.
Their Achilles heel is their
Or it's their own lack of going for 3 points.
Yes.
Their own lack of
kicking
terrified game.
They're terrified of kicking for points.
Their territory game is not great.
No, they leave points on the board.
Yeah.
And their discipline.
Yeah.
That's the two things that's like, that hurts them. Every time they lose a game, it's always because of those things.
I would say, and I don't think they're not a physical team. They can go toe-to-toe with you physically. Yeah. But if you can smother them, and I've seen England and South Africa do this. I've seen Ireland do this, actually. If you just beat them up front enough and just put a lot of pressure on them immediately, they do kind of fade a bit.
But how many times have we seen the Springboks do that to the All Blacks? And then the next week, the All Blacks dummy them.
Doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work.
Yeah, it's just... They're such a unique team. Their problems also are completely coachable.
That's what I think. That's one of the things is that their weaknesses are entirely their problem to deal with, right? Yeah. They're very
and
fixable.
Thank God. Like, thank God. Like, their domestic league that they play a majority of rugby where they're going to learn, they're just going to learn such bad habits from is helping us. Like, Super Rugby is doing a service to the world. You know,
by keeping New Zealand in their little box of don't defend.
Yeah, and making
never go for 3 points.
And like completely ignore rules. Yeah. Because when they get to the world stage, they're just going to get penalized to shit. Mm. Right? And they'll lose. Like when England comes in, when England comes over there.
Yeah.
If New Zealand doesn't like get their shit together on their discipline, they'll lose. They will lose those two games. Right.
There was actually, I was thinking about the Six Nations this weekend. There was a few games where some teams gave away, I think France gave away less than 5 penalties or something.
Yep.
All of a sudden, it feels like all the good Northern Hemisphere teams are just not giving away any penalties.
That's how
discipline has improved massively this weekend.
Yes, because like, well, the TMO and the reffing has evolved so much. The Northern Hemisphere has evolved with that.
You're not even risking it, are you?
No.
You're not even risking it.
It's like, okay, we're going to play by the rules a lot more.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you know what,
though? It's worked.
Yeah, it has.
And it's worked. It's made them a more formidable opponent because now all you have to do is wait for the other team to like basically give you opportunities.
Yeah. It's difficult to do that old Northern Hemisphere thing where you pin a team in their half with kicks and then just wait for them to make a mistake. Because even defensively, everyone's defense is pretty good these days in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And they're not, unless you've got them under serious pressure on their line, they're still not giving away a lot of penalties.
Nope.
But I'll tell you something about the Super Rugbies. I think they've caught a little bit of a sickness.
What do you mean?
They've caught a little bit of Northern Hemisphere germs. I'm looking at some results.
Oh, look at some of these scores. Look
Crusaders 10, Hurricanes 14. You guys feeling okay? Was it raining? Fucking Waratahs Blues 10-12. Where's your tries?
Yeah, what was the Northern Hemisphere scores?
What, this is disgusting.
You got the Chiefs and the Druids.
No, they still got some pretty big scorelines.
The Reds and the Rebels 53.
Yeah. But, you know, I wanted to just segue back to Super Rugby. And I wanted to say... I didn't watch anything from Super Rugby. I'm just looking at the results. But based on the results, and I didn't watch anything because I watched all Six Nations Super Saturday with you, and I never want to watch rugby again. However, I'm happy to see that I'm excited to watch Super Rugby in the next few weeks because it's competitive.
Yes.
I'm really excited about that. You know, I was ready to write this off as another, oh, New Zealand are just going to win everything. Australia are going to be crap. And like the Drua and Moana Pacific are just going to be these developmental sides. But no, it's not the case. Like, anyone could still win it. Really happy to see the Brumbies get a win.
You know? I'm not.
Why?
I wanted the Highlanders to win.
I mean, Highlanders is my team now. Yeah. I'm a Patchell guy now. I'm a Reese Patchell fan. They're my team, I guess.
I'm glad they won.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see, I'm glad the Brumbies won.
I'm glad. I need Australia rugby to be good. And also now Wales are so bad, I need there to be hope in other places. You know, I need to look at Australia and go, if they can do it, we can do it, you know? If they can drag themselves out of a hole.
Yeah.
Because we're both in holes.
Yeah, it's true.
So
I don't know where this came. Like, where did this come out of? Like, how did the shift happen?
I think, and I wish we had a Kiwi corner with someone from New Zealand to tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I think the Crusaders were so dominant, it made it look like all the Kiwi teams were that dominant. Don't get me wrong, they generally are. But I think Crusaders not being good has kind of opened the door and everyone's gone, oh, we've got a chance. Right, we don't have to just lose to the Crusaders in every single game.
It's got to be something more than that.
It's definitely something more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too simple, obviously.
Because there's been a big change in how these Australian teams are playing.
Yeah.
Like, the Taz lost by 2 points in the last two games.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, I remember when they won it a long, long time ago, you know?
Up the Taz.
It's a long time.
I can't remember that.
I mean, the Rebels were the team I was worried about because there was talk about them folding.
Yeah.
I mean, they did get hammered as well by the Reds.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it looks like they're not shit, which is what I'm saying. Everyone except the Rebels is not shit.
I think is the... Because I know there's a lot of Kiwi players playing in Japan still.
Yeah, there are. Oh, yeah, there are.
Right? That's so a lot of them are... Like, there's a lot of Kiwis in Japan.
All Blacks as well.
All Blacks. Yeah. So I think when they come back...
Oh, okay. That's the thing.
There might be a little bit of a shift in...
That's a good point.
Because, like, Artie Savea is fucking around in...
He's not just fucking around.
In Japan.
He's fucking people up.
Yeah, he's fucking people up in Japan. Yeah. When he gets back, he plays for the Hurricanes, and they're already rocking it.
All 12 of the Barrett brothers are up there, I think.
I wonder, what happens when they come back and the whole paradigm shifts over...
All the Barretts walk into the changing room.
Yeah.
It's like a mafia. It's like the Peaky Blinders, the Barretts. They're the fucking Peaky
Blinders. They are the rugby mafia in New Zealand. There was another brother, too. There was another one of them.
There's loads of them. I was reading about Wikipedia. There's like seven siblings.
And
one of them's a girl.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
She's like a rugby player, too?
I have no idea.
She plays with the All Blacks.
I very briefly read Wikipedia. I have no idea.
But yeah. No, that's my take on the Super Rugby weekend.
Yeah, I wish we could be more insightful because we're obviously excited to talk about it, but we have such little knowledge. We're just like, look at those results.
The problem with doing these games, like breaking down these games and talk about these games, is they're on at like 2 and 3 in the morning.
I mean, I'm definitely going to get into it next few weeks now. Six Nations.
Like, what's
is
on
over.
Next weekend here? Let me take a look at next weekend. So we got, look at this. We could watch Fiji and Drua.
Some of these times are good.
7:05.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at, I'm seeing a 9:35 p.m.
Do you want to do Chiefs Highlanders? That would be a good game.
Chiefs Highlanders, and we could do Drua Waratahs next week.
Friday night
under the lights.
Yeah, we can do a little Friday night of Super Rugby and chill.
Yeah, we drink some beers.
Oh, that'd be actually a good idea. Let's do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll come over. We'll watch some Super Rugby.
All right.
And then, all right. But yeah, my big takeaway is the spooky story of if fucking
Scott Robertson.
Yeah, if Scott Robertson is. If he is the key, everyone's fucked. The world's fucked. He's gonna walk. He's gonna dog walk. He's gonna dog walk world rugby, and that's terrifying.
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not worried about it anyway. We were never threatening New Zealand, so you know it's up to better teams like Ireland and France, maybe in England, who are playing them to find out.
I can't wait for that.
England's like the canary down the coal mine, isn't it? Go find out how good they are. And then they come back all battered and bruised. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. That was
sacrificial.
Awful.
Yeah, just send those guys in the cage.
Send England over, see what's going on down there. And they just come back, they get mangled. Three players die. And like, okay, well, let's just not play them.
Yeah, we're not going to
The
go
rugby
back
champs has been cancelled.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, these summer test matches and the rugby championship is going to be
juicy.
Fire.
Yeah, I'm liking the narratives already.
Oh, man,
yeah.
The narratives make it all. They do.
Yeah, Joe Schmidt at Ireland. Razzie started talking a bit as well. Started piping up about things.
Oh, yeah, he's starting to get in there.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right, so should we talk about some Six Nations?
No, I think we should call it there.
That's it? Shut it down? Thank you, guys. If you have any questions, you can email us.
No, I'm good. Now go. Okay. Let's do it. Let's get it out the way, shall we? So chronologically.
Rip that Band-Aid off.
Okay.
Should I turn my mic on mute and just let you go?
Okay. So first thing I want to do, because I don't want to sound like a depressing piece of shit, is I want to talk about Italy to start. Like, this is the best I've ever seen them play. Not just against us, because we were shite, and it's a hard barometer when you're crap, but they played... They should have won against France, right?
Mm-hmm.
They beat Scotland. Not just... There was no luck there, right? When I've seen Italy beat teams in the past, feels like they've caught a team off guard, hung in the fight, and then fluked it at the end a bit. They have two convincing wins now. So not only do they have the most wins they've ever had consecutively in a tournament in Six Nations, both of those wins were deserved, right? There was no snatching defeat from the jaws of victory by the other team there, you know?
The thing about Italy is, fuck, they make it hard to watch because they make you believe.
Yeah.
They come pounding out the door.
Yeah.
And they get a lead.
Yeah.
And then they go straight into survival mode.
They do. It's like what the hell do we do with
that
this?
That whole second half was pure heart, hero,
yeah,
survival
but
mode.
But it never felt like luck, though. Like, everything they defended like warriors on that line, you know?
They did. They did, but fuck, they
don't.
They,
and yeah, it's not put comfortable. You on the line. Is it? It's not comfortable.
Heart. They put
yeah.
your heart on the line yeah. real hard.
Because they could have, you know, I think going in at halftime against us, they could have been on up by a lot more. We were that bad, right?
If they just would have got that kick in France,
yeah.
Fuck.
I knew we were gonna have a bad day when Paolo Garbisi walks out ready to take a kick. And his fucking ball stayed on the tee. I thought, this is going to be a bad day.
Yeah, there was no like
the ghostly mojo. French winds were there to save us. Like, yeah,
all the French blowing their cigarette smoke yeah. towards the tee.
Didn't work in the millennium. We didn't get the memo.
Yeah,
because our fans all had fucking wooden spoons in their mouths, which was pretty funny. Anyway, so yeah, before I get into Wales, like, Italy, amazing, and it's genuinely good for the tournament that Italy are good now. I hope it stays that way. And another thing I should say about it is, we were talking about Squidge Rugby gaslighting us. He fucking wasn't. He was right.
Yeah, he was right.
He was right. He was playing the long game. Who's laughing now? Fucking him.
He is.
He was like, you know what, guys? One day Italy going to be good, and here's the evidence. And we're like, shut the fuck up. And he was fucking right.
He was right.
And another thing I want to say is, Gonzalo Quesada, he's done something. Because I remember Italy in the World Cup, they were shit. Like, he's done something good, doesn't he?
I think he's changed the whole, like, yeah. The only thing I'm going off of is that Netflix documentary where I saw.
They made him look like an asshole.
They made Kieran Crowley look like they made fucking, him look like he was there for a paycheck.
They made him look like he resented his team, didn't
yeah,
they?
I think he's changed that whole culture of that team.
Yeah.
There's been a culture change.
There has.
And there's people like Lina hasn't lost a game in an Italy jersey.
What a statistic.
Right?
Lewis Leiner has a 100% win record for Italy.
Yeah. So it's like...
And it's consecutive. It's not like he was injured. He's both of the games.
Yeah. And like, he's never lost a game. Like, there's some players, like, he's bringing a winning culture.
Yeah.
Who is this coach? He came from the
top
4.
He's Argentinian.
Did you look him up? Did you bring him up or anything?
Yeah, he's Argentinian. Yeah.
I know he's Argentinian, but do you know his history or anything? Did you look it up?
I think he's from Argentina.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Okay. Because I know he was coaching in the top 14.
Yeah.
I did look him up a while ago.
Yeah.
But I need to go deep dive into this guy. Because
I'm gonna tell you something while you Google his name, okay, so we can find some more information. I'm going to tell you a little story about Italians and Argentinians. I went to Argentina, right?
Yeah.
And you know how...
You went to Argentina?
Yeah. I was there for 2 months. Yeah, had a great time.
Oh, I did not know this.
There's a Welsh-speaking colony in... place called Patagonia. So we went there and we built a garden and spoke Welsh with a bunch of Argentinians. It was awesome. It was very strange, actually. I could tell you about that, but I'll want to stick to rugby.
Yes.
Right? So you know how in America you've got people who think they're Italian and think they're Irish and Scottish and stuff, right? All my ancestry is X, Y, and Z. And in South America, they speak Spanish predominantly, except in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
And you would think that a lot of them claim a heritage from Spain, which they do. But in Argentina, they all think they're Italian. They all think they're like Americans who think they're Irish or Italian.
Yeah,
they all hardcore think they're Italian. They do all this Italian shit. They talk about this Italian culture and stuff. And it was weird because you go to a lot of other South American countries, they have indigenous culture and they have Spanish from Spain culture, right? But no, in Argentina. So they've got a strong connection with Italy already, right? So this guy was made to coach them.
He also speaks Italian too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because it's not like a fake thing either. There's a lot of people in Argentina who genuinely do have Italian heritage.
Argentina's like an odd South American country because they even speak their Spanish is a little odd too.
I mean, I would say that about a lot of different South American countries, but yeah, they do. They're definitely they see themselves as... We've got a Brazilian friend at our rugby club, right? Ask him what he thinks about Argentinians. And he has some choice words about it.
They're a little hoity-toity, aren't they?
That's a polite way of putting it. They think they're better than other people in South America.
It's like when you call when you call an English guy European,
yeah, they don't like it.
Yeah, they're like, no, I'm British.
Yeah, I'm British, exactly. Yeah.
I was like,
no, you're still from the continent of Europe, though.
Yeah,
right?
I remember someone correcting me on that a couple times.
Yeah,
and I thought, I was like, oh, yeah, but you guys are European, so it's no,
mate, listen here, right? We're not European. We left Europe, we're right?
We're British, and you're like,
geographically,
okay.
He's correct. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, like, so. Yeah, they are a bit sort of, they do think they're a bit better than other people, according to my Brazilian friend, and a little bit based on my experience.
You know what? Anecdotal evidence is the way to go.
That's right. Truth is irrelevant these days.
Yeah.
So you may as well
You don't need to ask multiple people. Just ask one guy and if he's had an experience.
You're right.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah. So, but you know, Gonzalo Quesada, he has some coaching experience. He was at Toulon.
Also, their discipline. They did take, Italy took 9 penalties.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
It's, I mean, I think,
but it used to be like, it used to
you
be
aim
like,
for under 10 at international level.
It used
that's
to be like
rule
15, 18, like it used to be 10 plus all the time.
And you could almost guarantee a card, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Like they were, their discipline was good. They didn't fade. That was the big thing for me. Like they didn't go away, you know, like Italy go away at 60 minutes historically.
And that Menichello and Brex.
Ignacio Brex. Oh, that, what a partnership, eh?
Okay, yeah. They have to be, in my mind,
yeah,
the best center pairing in the Six Nations.
Because they've... Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Like, I can't think of a more effective...
The overachievement there is incredible, yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
They just... They were game changers.
Yeah, they were.
And everything was just, like... They just created so much opportunity and like, saved... They did so much, like, saving.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where those two guys came from.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure... They weren't in the World Cup squad.
No, and that's what I was trying to make out about, talk about, is like, just the, where did this Italy come from, you know? Like, they've brought in a lot of good new players.
It just shows, like, the difference a coach can make in a team.
I think the coaching is the biggest factor here. Like, I'm not an expert, but that's got to be, you know, the main thing, isn't it? And then, you know, another thing I want to say about Italy as well, because I'm not being super eloquent about it, because I'm quite sad about this game, but I do want to mention the narrative around it, which I thought was quite insulting from some of the TV pundits. It was like talking about Italy when they'd won as if this was the avoiding the wooden spoon game, right? We should be talking them up, right? Like they've won as many games as Scotland have and they've drawn a game.
They've proven the world wrong.
They have, and I'm
even us wrong.
Oh, they've proven us wrong, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, there wasn't much evidence for it in the World Cup, was there? I didn't see it coming.
No.
But I'm happy it's happened.
Yeah.
If it's at our expense, so be it, you know?
100%.
So, it's really good for the tournament, because all of a sudden, I know Italian players' names, right? I wouldn't watch some of these Italian games. What's the point, right? It's a break weekend for most teams. And yeah, now it's not. Now
you would do that. You would skip the game.
Now next tournament, there's a pressure on them because they've got to kick on. But now I'm going to watch every single Italian game with a bit more interest and go, I want to know these guys' names because they're a threat, right?
I want to know
I
your
wanna
name.
I
want to
know what love is.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Wales?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to try and keep it succinct and not cry. I think, okay, so emotionally, here's where I'm at with it. Like, if, you know, the week before when we lost to France, I was like, Gatland's still got cash in the bank. Things are moving in the right direction. That's still true. But the truth is, it's exposed a gaping hole, which we always knew was there in Welsh rugby.
How right? iconic was it when Winnett and Costello ran into each other trying to catch that ball?
And it was sort of like a metaphor for where we're at, two children running headfirst into each other and not communicating. And to be fair, I thought that was Winnett's ball, and I think Winnett thought that was Winnett's ball. Costello was just being an idiot.
He had a shocker.
Because he's a fucking kid. He missed touch 3 times. And people will be like, oh, get rid of him, find someone else. There is nobody else. It's him. He gets better or we get worse, right? That's it. There's nobody else, you know?
It's time you guys get some projects.
Tynus DeBeer, we're working on him.
Tynus DeBeer?
Yeah, it's somewhere in a laboratory in Cardiff.
I wouldn't be like, how old is he?
I don't know.
He's
good though.
We bring this guy up so much.
We love him.
Yeah, because we do love him. He's great.
Yeah, there's a history of players at Cardiff who were a bit like cult status. I don't remember a guy called Dan Fish.
Yeah,
he was a skinny little bald guy who just everyone at Cardiff loved him. Anyway,
this was the worst Welsh performance I've ever seen.
Yeah,
minus the last like 20 minutes, but like
it wasn't like
they stacked up meters. In the last 20 minutes of that game, like Wales were pushing for a win there.
Yeah.
And it was just too late.
I've never watched an Italian game where we weren't in control. Even when they beat us a couple of years ago, we were in control for most of that game. Mm-hmm. And that was a bit of luck by Italy at the end. Bit of skill, bit of magic. But I never felt like we were going to lose that game. I felt like we were going to lose this game from the second it started. And I was like, we've lost this, you know? Never felt like that in my life. So it wasn't so much that the performance bad, which it was. It was just that we were on par with Italy in terms of skill and ability now, if not worse, you know? Never felt like that before. I think Tompkins had a shocker. Like, he knocked it on a few times. I think he might have played himself out of a Wales jersey. And then when Mason Gready came on, like, he's a lot better. We got to stick with him now.
Yeah, as soon as he came on, he made such a huge difference.
Well, Mason Gready also knocked it on. But then when he started doing stuff good, it was like, okay.
Yeah,
he
did make some fuck ups too.
Yeah.
But I was like, why is Gatland hiding this guy?
I think because he's raw. You can see that he is raw. Like, he still makes mistakes, like he did in that game. And I think Gatland wanted to win that game badly, right? I think in a way this is the best thing that could happen to Welsh rugby, because if we'd have won that game, that would have been like the final band-aid over the massive crack in our wall, right? But now this has happened, it's like there's no hiding from it, right? The WRU really has to take a serious look at itself.
Oh, everything must be so dire right now in the Welsh rugby.
Yeah.
Like, how did you feel about that Gatland offering to resign?
You know what? When I first read the headline, I was like, oh shit. And then when I read it a bit more, I thought that's the smartest thing he could have said. He's a smart guy. Because you think about it, right? Like, he is saying, I'm ready to go if you want me to. Because he's removing his ego from the situation whilst also putting all the pressure on himself and away from the players, right? He's saying, this is entirely my fault. I've made a massive fuck up and I'll go if you want me to. And then he said that Abby Tierney, our new CEO, she said, don't you dare go, we need you. And yeah, he's controlling the narrative there, obviously. We don't know that's what she said, but they have no reason to doubt him. But it's quite a genius move in a way.
It was kind of odd that when I read the full quote that, because I just thought that he said to the media, I offered to resign.
Yeah.
I didn't know he said the other things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't actually until this morning when I looked into it.
Yeah, welcome to 21st century media.
Yeah. I read the rest of it. I was like, oh, that was kind of an odd thing to say. He's like, yeah, I offered to resign. But the boss said, no way, we need you. And I was like,
it sounds more arrogant when you read it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's like, actually very, I think it's really smart, because he's taking all the pressure off the players, taking all the responsibility on himself, but simultaneously saying, like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, because you don't, there's nobody else. And he's right, though. That's the truth about it. There's no one else for this job right now.
I disagree with that. I think there's lots of guys that can come in, but there is no one that is ingrained in that system.
That's why it has to be him, because you couldn't bring in anyone else and they know Welsh rugby as well as he does.
And he's proven time and time again.
Yeah.
He's not a bad coach.
He's an excellent coach.
He's an excellent coach.
And you could talk about his style of rugby, of Warren Ball. And I always had a problem with that insinuation, because everyone does it. He just got the moniker, right? Everyone plays that style of rugby. Nobody does this champagne rugby in the world, right? In fact, people like teams like South Africa, England, and Ireland just do it better now, right? And people, if we wanted innovation, that would come at a time when we have a good quality squad. Right now, we need to teach young players how to play the basics well at international level. I can't think of anyone in the world who's better at that than Warren Gatland. You know?
There needs to be some wholesale changes in Wales. Like, they need to do some like crazy shit.
They have done, though. They have done. Behind the scenes, there have been changes in the WRU.
But there are some things they could do that would, like, I don't know, I don't know, actually, when I think about it, because we had a conversation about this the other day. It's like, if you get rid of the eligibility rule, like, that would bring a couple guys back.
It's not many, though.
But not many, when you think about
it. It's Joe Hawkins at Exeter.
Yeah.
But we've already lost Faye Wabosso because of it, so he's not coming back.
But I think it still would make a difference.
No, but I think I was thinking about this morning. If you got rid of it, you might lose Jack Morgan and Dewey Lake, who are captains.
So?
We can't lose our captains.
They would just go and then you'd get them when you need them for Wales, and then they would rock it.
No, your captain has to play in your country.
Mm.
If you're Welsh, he does. Mm. It's okay if you're South Africa and you have the depth of, you know, the depth they've got. No. I'm not saying don't change it, but I think there's a lot of people being really reactionary about it and saying it's the worst idea ever. There's a reason it exists, you know? The problem is how much we pay our players. If the Welsh Rugby Union tomorrow said, we've messed up by underfunding the regions, we fired a couple people, freed up some money, have a million £10 more each, that would make a difference.
Yeah, I guess you could help out the clubs pay.
That's what needs to happen.
To get these players
to
stay.
That's exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah, that would make a big difference too.
Yeah. But you know, I don't want to go on about this too much because, you know, this isn't the Welsh Rugby podcast or anything. So.
Well, we're talking about the game, so we have time to talk about the game. This isn't the it's fine to talk about the game. We're talking about the game.
I mean, there's
game.
Other
we're talking
excellent
about the
rugby teams out there.
Behind the game.
All right. Okay, well, I'll just sort of have a look at my notes.
No, I'll take over. It's okay. It's okay. Hold on a second here. So, yeah, Wales fucking suck.
Yeah, they fucking do. I'm sad anyway.
I'm sad for David Jenkins.
Oh, he looked... another thing I'm
that's
ashamed.
He's gonna take that
he
to heart.
He looked gutted at the end.
Like, and he
just
plays
defeated.
He's an amazing player, and that's gonna be like, I'm just worried about guys like him and who is that fucking fly half for Australia. I kind of take those two, like, they're very similar situations.
Right at the start of their career.
Yeah,
and, you know, stars of their country,
and like
their confidence just takes an absolute sledgehammer to the face. Yeah.
What the fuck's his name?
Is it Donaldson?
No, that's the guy he brought in as the other 10 that never plays 10. But Eddie Jones, like, fucked the kid I'm talking about.
You're talking about Quade Cooper?
No.
I'm joking.
He's not a kid anyways.
No, I'm joking.
But I feel bad for David Jenkins. This is like his first time as captain, being the captain.
Mm.
He's leading this charge of this, like, and...
It's like the Alamo, isn't it? You know you're going to die, but you've got to stand and fight. Like,
yeah, I just really hope this, like, I really hope this galvanizes him instead.
I think the good thing for him is he'll go back to Exeter, win a bunch of games and be amazing. And he'll kind of, it'll be like, oh, he needs that kind of ointment for the soul, you know?
Yeah, I really hope this has a positive effect. I hope these players take this experience.
Oh, they definitely learn some things. Yeah.
But like a lot of these players got to go back to losing clubs.
Mm.
That's the worst part.
No, it is the worst part.
They just fucking got embarrassed in the Six Nations, and now they got to go back to these Welsh regions.
Yeah,
and then lose.
Yeah,
so that's gonna be tough. Those players that like easily, at least David Jenkins can get out. Yeah. Right, he can go to like the resort of Exeter.
Yeah,
right, and
go have a spa or win some games.
Yeah, but a lot of these players got to go back to like the Dragons, like
Aaron Wainwright.
Yeah,
Rio Dyer.
Yeah.
Quality. And that, you know what's impressive is like those guys have some brass testicles to be as good as they are and haven't won a game in maybe a year.
Like, yeah. And then they got to get fucking dummied.
Yeah.
That's going to be depressing.
I'll tell you the saddest story of the weekend for me was George North limping off after getting hammered for his final game in Wales on crutches. And he stood there signing autographs in the tunnel, smile on his face. What must be going through it? Well, and what a guy, like, what a legend, you know?
Man, in sport, when it comes to sport, going out on top, not a lot of people do it.
No, they don't. I just felt like he deserved, I'm happy to lose to Italy, but the manner in which we lost must have hurt for him, right? Because you could, you know, maybe he could have got a try. It'd have been a really exciting back and forth game. It wasn't though, was it? We scored a couple desperate tries at the end and he got injured. Mm-hmm. Anna, you're right. You're absolutely right. Not many people get to choose their exit. No. I just felt like if someone deserved a walk off into the sunset, it was him, you know?
Yeah, like there's lots of people like you see, even Johnny Sexton.
Yeah.
Like that was like, it was his last chance. Like the team is so good. Everything's going right.
That
the
was
last,
peak Ireland.
The last 2 years were like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And you're just like, they're going to win the World Cup.
Mm.
And when they lost to New Zealand, like you just don't get to go out on top. A lot of people don't.
And those are the guys who get to go out playing the game, right? There's some guys who get an injury, we never see him again. Some guys like Reese Webb get accused of taking steroids, and it's just like, where's he now? Like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
You just don't get to not. I. You know, if you him limping off, sad, but that's sport.
Yeah.
It is. I don't. I. You know what? I bet you we're thinking about it way more than he's ever thinking about it.
Bank account's probably not thinking about it too much. He's probably doing all right.
Just a second here. We're recording. Sorry, we had to have our annual... Our weekly dog interruption.
Yeah. Don't worry, I've given him away to another family now.
Oh, God, don't say that.
Oh, I love my dog. He'll be happier there.
So anyways, where were we again? We were talking about...
The worst rugby team in... Okay, well, another one, something funny that I want to say, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I always felt like Wales are like the first boss in a video game for up and coming teams. So in the World Cup, when it was like Portugal and Fiji, like Fiji finally get their shit together. It's like, Fiji are going to be good now. And it's like, well, you have to face your first boss, tier one Wales.
You guys
like,
got to be the bad guys.
Yeah, we're always the bad guys. So anytime like a team is up and coming, they're the darlings of world rugby. You've got to beat your first boss. It's got to be, if you can beat Wales, you can join the big
the
boys.
Bad guys,
and,
Wales.
Yeah. So we're always like, you know. And I felt like yesterday we're the bad guys you've got to beat to be good team. Now it's like, now we're not a threat, you know.
Now next time when you guys start picking up your team, you guys are gonna be the darlings.
We're gonna be the darlings of world rugby. I'm excited. Yeah, yeah.
So, or actually it'll be something like Portugal will be coming up and then they're gonna beat you guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Because I was cheering for Italy in that game.
I would have if I wasn't.
I wanted
Welsh,
that.
Yeah,
totally. I wanted Italy to have something.
It's good for world rugby. Like I get it. And it was the same when we beat Fiji in the World Cup. Like everyone hated us. You know, like we just like killed a child or something. You know.
Yeah.
But I am excited for. Yeah, it was good for the tournament though. Mm-hmm. Like, if Italy, but there's pressure on Italy now to maintain that.
Yeah.
You know, because if they just capitulate next year, then it was a flash in the pan, right? But
it's up to them. Yeah, it's up to them. I think they, you know what? They're also like going back to teams that are playing pretty decent. They're doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, like, Benetton are okay now.
Yeah. Benetton are okay. Zebra
are probably as good as a medium tier Welsh region now.
So, yeah. So
there's hope.
There is hope.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this.
I wish I had some hope.
Should that we talk about nice. The next game?
But had I think I said all the sad things, didn't I?
Are you. All,
did you let me just read my sad notes.
Got your notes out now?
I think that's it. Yeah,
I think that's it.
I've expunged some demons. I'm now a hockey fan, though.
You switch over?
Yeah, go Oilers.
Ireland, Scotland.
My least favorite game. Actually, how could I dare say that was my least favorite game of the weekend? I know exactly. The least entertaining game from the weekend from a neutral point of view. How about that?
It kind of was. Yeah. I kind of was. Well, I wasn't really getting up for this game. I wasn't too excited. The whole Super Slam is over with. So it's
kind of... Talk about that a bit. Talk about taking the sheen off the Slam. Because as an Irish fan, I'd still be pretty pleased, I think.
You should be pleased that they won. You know, two Six Nations in a row.
Impressive.
But that story of the Super Slam.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
So I was kind of... And this game was messy.
It was messy. I think that's why I didn't enjoy it as much. It felt like neither team could grab it.
Now... To be fair, like Scotland were heroic in defense. Like
they were
getting their fucking asses kicked.
After about 20 minutes, when Ireland decided, no, we're a lot better than this. Let's just win the game. But we'll still defend valiantly.
Oh my gosh! Like they were just like the pressure they're putting on defense was so incredible.
Yeah, it was.
They're just like it was like. Have you ever seen that video where they like drag that goalie? Into the net and it's like a soccer penalty shot and then he gets hit in the head and then they like keep dragging him out and then he just gets hit in the head every time and right in the face and he's like all bloody. It was like that with Scotland, like they were just like putting their bodies on the line and man, uncharacteristically, like Ireland were fucking messy in
this
game.
They were messy.
I wonder if there must have been,
they looked a bit rattled from that game before, right?
I wonder if there was a bit of a hangover from losing from England.
Yeah,
and I think that whole slant, like I think there was a little bit of depression, I think, some like losing that grand slam depression.
Yeah, I think so.
Because if that grand slam was on the line, they would have like been more up for it. I think there was a lack of motivation in that game.
I think so too. One thing you hear from coaches a lot is we never talk about the grand slam. Even Andy Farrell said this about this tournament. We talk about the next game in front of us, right? And you know that's what the coaches talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a part of me that thinks, yeah, but if I was a player, I'm thinking about the double grand slam. Like the fucking double goose egg fucking deliciousness, you know? Like, so, I think there was a bit of a hangover as well. I think Scotland, to be fair, for the first 20 minutes, they looked really threatening.
Yeah.
They actually looked good. And like Scotland are just perpetually disappointing for me because there's so much potential to be this incredible attacking team. And then they go most of the game without scoring a try. You know,
there was just nothing to go off of.
The platform was poor, wasn't it?
Ireland were just like constantly on attack.
Yeah.
Constantly pushing the line.
Yeah.
And like Scotland played in survival mode.
Yeah.
in that game. Actually, this score is actually a lot closer than that game looked like it was supposed to be.
So maybe I should be giving Scotland more credit just for staying in the fight rather than not being as threatening. I do want to say as a positive Scotland though, like Andy Christie, man, like he is class.
Oh,
that number six, Andy Christie, like yeah. That first 10-20 minutes, like he was everywhere. Like he's exciting. I'm really excited for him to. And Scotland need some forwards that are kind of dynamic because they're missing, you know, Jamie Ritchie, Hamish Watson in their heyday. When those two were playing well, like, wow, Scotland were just all over at the breakdown. And this guy was good, man. Andy Christie.
Yeah, their forward pack
guy.
Let them down in this game.
Did.
They were really good in defense, but yeah. Trying to get that forward ball, they just didn't have it.
It felt like some weird chess match of substitutions at one point. Like there was a whole 20-minute period where it was just really messy. And it was like they would bring someone off, put someone on for both teams. And it felt like there was too much switching and changing for there to be any flow in the game. It was just like who can bring on the bigger forward, you know? This little chess match of physicality.
Yeah, Ireland put like, yeah, but that scoreline, like, you could just show how good Scotland played in defense.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe
like they took 13 penalties that game.
Yeah.
You know what? Ireland took 4.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
They both took a yellow card.
Yeah.
But even when it took Scotland getting a yellow card for Ireland to finally get like through the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like it was just there was a lot of handling errors from Ireland too.
Yeah.
Like that scoreline should have been.
There
like
was a lot of knock-ons from Ireland, actually.
A lot of knock-ons. A lot of, like, guys not ready for the pass.
Yeah.
Jordan Larmer, kind of, like, from what I remember...
Didn't have the best game.
No, I thought he did some good things, but, like, man, like, he knocked on the ball a few times. Even Gary Ringrose, even though that's, like, the first game back since he's been injured.
Yeah.
And Harry Byrne. With his fucking face plant on.
Yeah, he wasn't on the field very long, was he?
No, he goes and fucking runs his face. I think he ran into. I think it was Finn Russell, wasn't it?
I can't either that or Blair Kinghorn. I can't remember. I can't remember. Yeah.
But fuck, I was like, what a fucking man. He actually looked. I really like Harry Byrne too.
Yeah.
I really like his pass.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing.
It was a fucking like this was a messy fucking game.
It's sad because there was a lot of opportunities for some Irish players to put the hand up and for Ireland to build a bit more depth in some of those positions they don't have depth in, and it was a bit of a disaster in that respect. You know, thought Lama really needed to have pretty much a perfect game.
Yeah, he really got an opportunity there.
Yeah, and the same with Byrne, like he really needed to be kind of immaculate for 10-20 minutes. And both of them, I'm sure that they're very good players, but it does show the gulf in quality between Ireland's first and second choice players, doesn't it?
There were some players though that played fucking really good this game. And Calvin Nash was amazing.
He was.
James Lowe again. Andrew Porter, like their whole four pack was.
Finley Beelan was on for a lot of the game as well, wasn't he? Like, and he was decent.
I think he came in at like 60 minutes.
Wasn't that a HIA change as well, rather than?
I can't remember.
I thought he was in earlier than that.
He was on for he came on at 51 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So, but man, like I think Scotland's forward pack really let them down.
Yeah, I mean, like you said though, I've been pretty mean about Scotland. Maybe I'm projecting a bit because we're so shit, and I want another team to kind of show us the way. And I just think like for Scotland, these are the kind of games where. You have to show some attacking promise. You've just lost to Italy. You have an incredible back line. Please fucking use it. You know, defensively, they're great, but it's we all know this, and Wales have been guilty of this. You don't win the game with defense, right?
Their forward pack is missing a cuntiness. Like, they need to be more, like, cunty.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the Scotland forward pack. They're not...
They're a bit too naive, aren't they?
Yeah, they're not tough. Like, I'm not going to say they're not tough enough, but they got to be more... They got to bully... They got to come in and start bullying teams. I don't think these guys are bad. Like, I don't think Schumann and Ferguson and Turner.
No, they're good players.
That front three, those guys are great.
Yeah, they can hold up the scrum. But, you know, it's little things, though, isn't it? And Ireland, Andrew Porter specifically, is very good at playing around the fringes, i.e., you know, you watch him when he's off the ball. He's holding guys' legs. He's pinning dudes in. Scotland are a bit, everyone does it. I'm not saying this is an Ireland thing. Everybody does it. But Scotland don't do as much as they need to cheat more. Like that's
they gotta be cunty.
They do. They have to
be more cunty.
They have to like. And the thing is, it's not coming from a place of wanting to be. It's coming from a place of doing every single thing you can to win a game.
You need the Joe Marler dark arts.
You do, right?
Yeah.
Andrew Port is a level 50 necromancer. Joe Marler is a level 100 necromancer. Yeah. You know, like, and it feels like the Scotland have just made their character sheet. You know, like. It's like we can do these things. Yeah, you can. You just got to figure out how to get away with it. You
yeah,
know?
Finn Russell had nothing to work off in this game.
No, he didn't have a platform, did he?
No,
no.
And he
never looked scared. Like he takes it up to the line. He always finds a little gap or something. But yeah, he just did not have the platform, did he? So we can do.
I'm just kind of worried about after watching the last two games with Ireland, and they got to go to South Africa after this. Ooh.
But they're going into that knowing what they need to work on. South Africa won't have played a game of rugby in a while.
They'll play one.
Against Wales.
Yeah, they got to go against Wales.
Those guys suck.
If I, you know what I'm thinking too, if, imagine if Ireland's last two games were England-France.
I feel like they had a bit of an easy run in the Six Nations.
Because they got a messy France.
I mean, no one knew France were going to be crap, but in the end they were.
They got a really messy, disjointed France that was trying to figure their shit out.
Then they got the two shittest teams in the tournament.
Then they got the two. Well yeah.
that's harsh on Italy.
Yeah, and then they played against England that finally got their shit together.
Yeah,
and then Scotland, who pretty much had their shit together, were as good as it can be.
But they had they were at the end of a ropey tournament. At the end, yeah. They just lost to Italy. You know.
Yeah.
I keep slagging Italy. Italy are good now. I need to change my mindset about it.
We're gonna have to eventually.
Yeah. We're gonna have to. Yeah. Weird tournament, eh?
It is. This is
a very strange
Netflix
tournament.
Must be like licking their chops with all the stories for this because they got to do the season two.
I think the stories are going to be kind of anticlimactic.
It's going to be great.
Nothing happened that was foretold. None of the fairy stories happened, you know? No, Italy are the fairy story.
What are you talking about? Who thought that England was going to beat Ireland? No one.
But they're the bad guys.
Right?
No one wants them to beat Ireland.
Not to the world. Kind of maybe.
Yeah, no, to the world. To the world.
You know, so Scotland beating England, France beating England.
I just didn't like that Netflix documentary, so yeah.
Yeah, you're just because you're a hater.
Yeah, I am.
But yeah, there's some story. Maybe they did, right? Maybe they were controlling the narrative.
Well, they could have controlled it a little
bit. The Netflix globalist elites.
They could have given us one win, Stations. Those bastards.
Yeah, you got some... You got some stories to tell.
I don't want to tell
some
stories.
Drama. I want to watch hockey now. You don't
want to
watch. You don't want to watch the next season because it's going to be this like fucking. It's also the
they're
going
to edit
worst.
It to make Gatlin seem like an evil bastard. Like
they just delete Wales from the whole. They're not even in it.
Scotland had a bye week.
They just took the fucking ghost them. Yeah, I wonder how much they're going to focus on that. I wonder what we're going to see from the inside from that documentary from the Wales camp.
Do you know? I kind of respected about. Wales in the whole Netflix filming cycle is like a lot of other teams they were a bit hesitant.
Didn't
like,
you only watched two episodes?
Yeah, I know, but
you didn't even get to the.
Do you know what this information I'm about to tell you doesn't even come from watching it? It comes from shit I heard about it. Okay.
Okay.
So it's purely anecdotal. Well, yeah. But like you know, all the other teams are like, yeah, come into our dressing room, you can interview people and stuff. And Wales is like, no, fuck off, leave us alone. We're striking,
you're
and I
wrong
like that
about that because they did.
Well, I saw them. They were in the cafeteria.
So now you sound like a dumb dumb.
With Lewis Rees-Sammet and Dan Biggott. I watched that episode and it was boring. Like,
so they went into like, yeah, they get into
the
there.
Most media trained people who are like, yes, rugby is fun. We are training hard today. I'm eating a salmon, you know?
Well, I'm done with talking about this Ireland-Scotland game.
Okay. We weren't even talking about that. We're talking about Netflix.
Netflix.
Money, baby. Yeah. But let's talk about the best game of the weekend.
Do you have anything else to add to this?
Let me look at my notes.
Okay, let's go to this. This was game of the weekend.
It was. From a neutral, I was up for this. This was a little bit of
France England.
Oh.
This game.
It's funny.
Really, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me with your book learning here.
Tickled my prostate.
No, that's not what I wanted. This game did tickle my prostate though a little bit.
I had a great time.
Yeah, what a fucking back and forth game.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, like who? Like yeah, both teams.
I'm not gonna say I was a neutral. I was cheering for France.
I was cheering for France too.
But like, it was nice. It was fun to see little baby Marcus Smith doing some cool things.
The crowd.
Yeah.
The crowd was in it.
The French crowd just like booing. It was like a Roman gladiator pit, right? Like
I fucking love those guys.
Yes.
I love a good, like, I love when the crowd's into it.
I love some French booing. They'll boo anything.
They love booing.
They do.
When I was at the World Cup, they were fucking booing everything.
They would boo the disabled mascot for a laugh. You know, like, fuck that guy. Yeah.
They fucking all over the place with the boos.
Yeah.
No, but what do you think is the main story that comes out of this game?
I think the main story from an England point of view is there's something there now. Borthwick's probably saved his job. There's some attacking intent. It's fun. And I think from a France point of view, they figured out how to live without Dupont in a good way, right? So yeah. They're both positives, actually. They both played a hell of a game. I could see the disappointment in Jamie George's face at the end, which was totally understandable. He wants to build some momentum. But then in the post-match with Borthwick and Jamie George, they were a little bit like standoffish. Like the questions were still probing, like, what the hell's going on? Why aren't you winning more? And both Borthwick and Jamie George were like, no, fuck you. We're proud of that performance. We're proud of the boys. We've showed what we can do. So they're managing to turn this narrative into something's here. And I believe them a bit more now because they were rightfully getting pilloried for a lot of shit. They were shit for a while, you know? And with the resources they got, there's no excuse.
They did. England's got some problems with their discipline. They made this game a lot harder on themselves than they needed to.
Yeah.
Like France got, like, they got some players come out of the woodwork.
In a great way, though.
Yes.
Peno, the greased up slippery pig.
Yeah, they had a lot of
slipping through holes.
They had a lot of veteran players step up.
Ramos was class at 10.
He's fucking
a bit defensively wobbly, but like, oh, he was doing.
He's stone cold, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Ice in his veins.
There is ice in his veins. He is the ice.
Doesn't give a shit, does he?
Yeah, like he is. But that fuck, what's his name? Legarek.
Legarek the nine.
Yeah, like he looks great.
What a suitable replacement. Yeah.
Yeah, like what a.
Yeah. Totally. No, France were class. I think they've refound their identity in that game a bit. You know, they use their power game to give their backs a platform, and then when the backs get it, like, wow, they can move.
They play some fucking chaos rugby.
They love it, don't they?
Yeah.
I feel like France are what South Africa could be if South Africa could involve their backs a bit more, right? Because they've got some monsters in their pack and they can absolutely destroy you up front. And that means they can release their backs a lot quicker than other teams.
I thought that England really fucking put it to them, though.
They did. And they got three tries in about 10 minutes, didn't they?
Their forward pack was like, the French forward pack was putting a lot of pressure on England.
Yeah.
But I thought England's guys were up for it.
They matched it. They
took a lot of penalties this game.
Yeah.
I think because of the pressure from the French pack.
Yeah.
But England's a hard team to outmuscle.
They're always going to have big boys, aren't they? They're always going to have big boys, yeah.
But...
Even
Gael Fiku,
yeah,
like he had a fucking rocker of a game too.
He did, man.
Like a lot of people stepped up in this. Actually, both teams, a lot of guys stepped up.
I can't think of many people who had a bad game there.
Man, George Ford, I thought, had a really good game too.
Yeah, he controlled it well.
There was a lot of shit that he like set up. A lot of the stuff that happened in that game.
Yeah,
he set up, and I know he's been even I've said like you got to get him out the door.
Yeah,
you need some like young because like oh man. Marcus Smith is just like he just has so much energy.
He does.
He brings he brings so much energy to the game, and like that's what you want, right? You see that.
Yeah.
But man, when he first came on, he was like getting fucking rocked, and he like knocked on the ball or got turned over or something like that right away. Like it looked like he was about to have a bad game.
Yeah, me and you were laughing the way because when you see Marcus Smith and he's waiting for a pass and it's like the camera's on him but he's not got the ball, he's just stood there like dancing. He cannot not move, right?
No, he's got like energy for days. He's like the Energizer Bunny.
Like, yeah, he's like a little child and he's dancing around. And you know, his try as well, he steps one player and then he fends another to score. He still had a lot of work to do against big, fast guys, and he made it look easy.
And he shouldn't have scored that try.
No, that's what I'm saying. He had a lot of work to do before scoring it. Like he's at home being a fullback, is what I'm saying, right?
England's missing a lot of players. They need a lot more players like Marcus Smith.
Mm.
Like when you're looking at the French backs, when they get the ball and they're just like finding space, they're finding opportunities, they're just like doing all this maverick game breaking shit.
Yeah.
Like, and then you got like Elliot Daly on the wing.
Old man Daly.
Like, there's like nothing exciting about him. There's no X factor. He doesn't have an X. I'm not going to say Elliot Daly's a bad player.
No, he's not a bad player.
But he's so basic.
He just does. He's a jack of all trades, isn't he?
Yeah. He's not like great.
He's not exceptional or anything except kicking. Hell of a boot. But yeah. he missed that important kick though.
And like this
and against Ireland. So
I don't know, like guys like Borthwick want safe.
Yeah.
And like look what France did.
Mm.
They didn't play safe at all.
No. But it was kind of like the Ireland England game. I think France was slightly better, but England were in it enough so that losing wasn't a morale blow, right? They played a hell of a game. Ollie Lawrence as well. Like in England, you were talking about this yesterday, how England have a kind of a centre problem because so many of their centre partnerships in the Gallagher Prem are not English players.
Yeah.
Right? So when that step up to international happens, it's like they don't really have as many options as you'd think in the centre pairing, right? Mm-hmm. But Ollie Lawrence was class. So he's definitely one for the future. I thought Tuilagi didn't really have much of an impact because he came on so late. But I think if you had Tuilagi and Ollie Lawrence together, that's a pretty beefy, fast, dynamic centre partnership, right?
It's a beef boy.
Yeah, but they're both quick, you know?
Yeah.
They're both quick and steppy as well. Like they're both really good centres. Mm-hmm. They're not one-trick ponies at all. Having said that, Tuilagi's probably already injured. So it doesn't matter.
You know what, too? Another point about this game is England had this game won.
Mm.
And they did the same shit.
Yeah.
They did the exact same thing that fucking Ireland did last week.
Bad game management.
Danny Kerr had to put that ball out.
Mm.
And when he does it, he makes this kick.
Mm.
And he kicks it like, what, fucking another like 10 meters?
Yeah.
And then just like puts all this pressure. Even the commentators like, this ball has to go. He has to put this deep.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Give it 10 meters.
Yeah, I'll give it 10 meters maybe.
We'll try and compete against some of the best.
Like, why give...
Area players
I don't mind kicking the ball away when there's like that much time left, right? Because like it's hard to score.
Yeah.
But why put yourself under all that pressure?
Yeah.
Like, they did the exact... Like, Danny Carey did the exact same thing Connor Murray did last week.
Why don't they just give it to 10 and give it... Because he's got more space to kick for distance, right? Like, I just don't understand.
Well, Danny Carey's a fucking...
He's a veteran, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a veteran. Like, he's like, I got this. Don't worry about it.
What is it about veteran nines coming on and ruining games this season?
That's what happened. They did. Like, the fucking Danny Carey and Connor Murray...
Yeah.
You guys, like, have to, like... You guys need to go in the rugby corner for a little bit because that was some sinful shit they did.
It was some sinful shit.
It was some sinful shit. Like, England had that game.
Yeah.
And they worked hard for it because they were getting their asses kicked for a lot of that game.
Yeah.
And managing to still be in it. Mm. And then Danny Carey, this unnecessary pressure, bad decision making again.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw that, I was like, this is exactly the same situation as last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was kind of poetic.
Yeah.
But why?
Pass on the buck.
I don't know. Where do you think Borthwick goes from here?
I still think Borthwick is faking it till he makes it a bit. Like, I think all this like talk about he knows what he's doing is false because when they've been successful, it's almost by accident. Like the players who've made a difference, like Marcus Smith wasn't supposed to play at fullback yesterday and he made a big difference, right? And Faye Waboso is kind of a gift to England. They didn't have anyone really lined up on the wing.
No.
This guy was like, hey, do you want to play for England? He's like, yeah, go on then. Wales are a fucking burning dumpster fire right now. I'll play for you guys. And when he plays, he's amazing. And those guys who bring that real attacking flair that have made the difference, they weren't exactly planned, were they? It's like Borthwick is a teenage pregnancy right now, you know? He's like accidentally had this amazing child come into his life,
he's
you know?
He's too safe.
He's too safe. So I don't think I think the English media will back off a bit. I think the RFU will back off a bit and go, based on the performances we've seen, we're happy enough.
Yeah.
But he really has to... He has to beat New Zealand in New Zealand to keep his job now, I think.
At least one game.
At least one game. That's what I'm saying. He has to win one game in New Zealand to keep his job.
Which now, like, now, the sorcerer fucking...
Yeah.
Sorcerer Razor there.
Level 100 Crusader Sorcerer is there.
You're like, going into...
With the greatest respect to England, because I have seen some... They've got no chance as far as I'm concerned. I think they're going to get battered.
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
You know what? At first, I thought that they were going to go in there and have a chance.
Yeah, not now. Things have changed.
But now, like after like seeing the difference that Razor had
at
Crusaders, and if he is the difference...
Yeah.
I
mean, he's at least 10% though, isn't he? Which is when the All Blacks are concerned, that's a big difference because they're already pretty fucking good.
Like, I have a feeling they're going to sweep fucking everyone this year.
I think they're going to mince them. I think I'm really excited to watch South Africa play New Zealand. That's the biggest game of the out of the Six Nations window for me this year.
Oh Well, mine's Ireland, South Africa.
I think that'll be good, but I've seen those two. I know what those two can do. I think because New Zealand is such an unknown right now, we're going to be talking about them in terms of the narrative has been who's better, New Zealand or South Africa, right?
Yeah.
And I think that narrative's been played to death a bit. What I'm excited about is where did New Zealand come into this?
Well, they're going to play England
before
everything,
right?
Yeah. So Ireland and England will play those two teams before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that England-New Zealand series.
They're the canary down the coal mine, aren't they? So
is going to be interesting because we don't know how good the All Blacks are going to be.
I think they're going to be way better than we think, and I think England are going to be a bit worse than they think. So I think New Zealand win all three, and I think that we win them all pretty comfortably.
There's only two. There's only two games.
That's a shame.
They took a game out for some reason.
Oh, so you can't even have a decider?
Yeah.
That might be good. You know, so player welfare, etc.
It's kind of lame, I think. But, okay, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, South Africa-New Zealand game is probably the most exciting matchup to come out. What about the Wallabies?
Wales, I think we're going to play the Australia, aren't they?
Yeah, Wales go down to the Wallabies.
The battle of the shitheads.
Yeah.
The battle of the dumpster fire nations.
These are two teams that need to fucking win that series.
Oh man, you know, I didn't say it earlier, but something I have been feeling deep in my bones, despite all the oh yeah, we're going in the right direction bullshit, is like I just want to win. Like I'm a Cardiff fan and I'm a Wales fan, and I want to just one of those motherfuckers to win a game of rugby just so I can feel a bit of hope, you know. It's hard. I love rugby enough that I'll never not love watching rugby.
How lucky did I get when I started watching rugby? I just didn't know anything about any of the teams. Yeah, and I was like,
no one picks.
Oh, I got some Irish background. You know what? I'll cheer for Ireland. They look cool, right? And then they ended up being like fucking like one of the best teams.
Yeah.
But I got so lucky.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of like, you know, that's not luck though, is it? You know, you're going to pick a team who's reasonably good if you get to pick.
I didn't even know anything from anything though.
Oh, if you're genuinely telling me you just like picked them out of a hat and you didn't know that they were good.
I legit did.
Okay, fair enough.
I remember watching the 2015 World Cup final.
Yeah.
And All Blacks were playing the Wallabies.
Yeah.
And the All Blacks were winning. And I'm sitting there thinking like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah.
Like these guys are going against all odds.
Yeah.
Like this is a country of like 4 or 5 million people.
Yeah.
And they're beating Australia.
Yeah.
Like this must never happen. Like I had no fucking idea.
You sweet summer child.
Because everyone around me is cheering for the Wallabies, right? And I couldn't believe, like, why are you guys cheering for Wallabies? Like, aren't you cheering for the underdog? New Zealand? Like, what are you talking about? Like, New Zealand? Because I had no idea.
It felt like a David and Goliath to you.
Yeah.
How little did you know?
Because I had no idea what the hierarchy of rugby was in world rugby, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know how good anyone was. I didn't like.
Well, Australia weren't that bad in 2015, mind.
No, they were great. Yeah. They were good. But I thought that, like, New Zealand were going against all odds to win. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Because, you know, I think they're such a small country.
Yeah.
I didn't expect them to be this like juggernaut.
I had
no idea they were a juggernaut.
Yeah.
And I think I only watched like a few games of that World Cup too. I think I only watched like a quarterfinal and the final.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Six Nations happened.
Yeah.
Right. And the Six Nations was coming up. I learned about that.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, I'm going to cheer for Ireland because I got Irish background. So there you go. Yeah. Can't cheer for Canada.
No.
They don't even exist.
No, they suck.
Yeah, they fucking suck. Yeah. Right? And they like rehired the worst coach ever. So
yeah.
Like that's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, I'm all ready to give people a hard time about being, you know, plastic Irishmen when they just, oh, they look good. I'll cheer for them, you know, but that sounds legit.
Yeah, that's a truthful story. I had no idea.
Okay.
And I chose to like, yeah. And the only reason why I started following Munster was because I was on a construction site and the equipment operator guy was an Irish guy.
Yeah.
And I started talking to him about how I was starting to watch rugby.
Mm.
He's like, oh, you got to watch Munster, man.
Yeah.
They're cool. That's my team. And I was like, okay, sure. I'll start following Munster.
Yeah.
Right. But then when I like started like.
They've had a bit of a rough. They're pretty good. They're getting better again recently, but they've had a rough few years. So.
Yeah.
They were kind of between their very good periods when you started liking them, I guess. I thought you liked Connor anyway.
I do.
Okay.
I do like them. That's when I started learning the game.
Right.
Learning where the teams were.
Yeah.
How the, you know, who was who.
Yeah.
Right. Then it kind of changed my my narrative, like my own choices, my own little tastes.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I'm if not you could sum up the Six anyway, Nations this year, what would you think? Was it anticlimactic? Was it?
It's a dreadful. Weird one because no, I think it's a real mixed bag, and I don't think that's a bad thing. It's hard because like I've got such Wales sad glasses on right now, that it's hard to look back. If I was trying to be objective, I would think that there was enough. Last weekend was one of the best, from a neutral's point of view, weekends of Six Nations ever in terms of close, exciting games. Mm-hmm. All of the games were fun and close and exciting,
yeah.
Right? And
yesterday they were pretty exciting too.
They were good. They were good. And it's hard for me to say because I think the Ireland-Scotland game was the least enjoyable, and I hated watching us lose pretty convincingly to Italy. England and France was an objectively amazing game. Overall, the tournament's been good. I think the narrative of Italy being genuine contenders is the biggest thing to happen to the Six Nations since it started. I don't say that lightly.
There was a lot of drama this Six Nations.
There was
a lot of stories, like coaches losing their jobs. Oh fuck, there was a lot of drama.
That's never far away, but you're right, like there was some fun, exciting drama.
Is Guilty gonna lose his job? Yeah. Borthwick gonna lose his job?
Yeah.
Ireland are just gonna sweep this.
Yeah. I hate to say it because I know I come across as petulant about Ireland and jealous, which I am, but I think if I was an Irish fan, like the double Grand Slam is historic and amazing, so I'm a bit sad they didn't get that as much as. But I'm also glad they didn't because it made the tournament exciting again, you know? So if I was Irish, I'd be gutted because, you know, you're making history and your team is at the pinnacle and everything's amazing and that's awesome for them and they've worked really hard for it and they deserve it. But England beating them made the tournament objectively more interesting for everybody, you know?
Yeah, Ireland have to get that big game.
They've got a bit of a reputation as choke artists, don't they?
They do.
And I think the good thing for them, though, is they're now talked about in the same breath as someone talks about South Africa or New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
They are undoubtedly one of the best teams in the world. Whereas 10 years ago, all of the Northern Hemisphere teams, you wouldn't talk about them like that, right?
There was an Irish player yesterday that said, like, for Ireland to be called, like, a great team, like, there's a few things they need to check off their list.
I think they are a great team. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, but like an all-time great team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah, beating New Zealand at home? Yeah, great team.
That's a pretty big step, but I still think they need a quarterfinal win.
They'll get that. If I could talk to an Irish person who's worried about that, like we all take the piss and it's funny, but deep down everyone who's not Irish knows that's not a worry for you, right? They've had to play New Zealand twice in a quarterfinal, right? That's not an easy task for literally anybody. You know?
I thought both times they were going to win those games.
Really? You thought they were going to win? They got hammered in 2019.
I know, but I thought I thought they would win it.
Really?
Yeah, and then in 2023?
I thought they would win it in 2023.
I was for sure they were going to win it. I thought there was just no chance.
Oh, I mean, I knew it'd be a close game. You never write New Zealand.
And
off.
I was like, I was scared on the inside, but I was like, no, Ireland are going to... Even when Ireland were losing in that game, I still felt like they were going to pull out the win, especially at the end there.
I think that's a sign of a great team, is how your fans feel about you. And if your fans feel confident you can win against any team, you're a great team as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, if I was Irish, I probably, you know, you have that label as a choke artist, but they'll be all right. Smooth.
It's still not. But yeah, I think we talked about everything we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Are you happy with that?
Well, no, but you know.
Next week, we're back to club.
I'm excited for...
Does Champions Cup start again?
We're only watching Super Rugby.
Oh, we're only doing Super changing now.
Yeah, we're not a URC best league team anymore, unfortunately. I'm fucking not, anyway.
Well, friends, if you have any questions for us, you can email us at thefriendsofrugbypod@gmail.com.
Thanks for stopping by to this very depressed corner of the world.
See you later, friends.